The truth is more than just the opposite of a lie. What is a Bob? The Best of Blogs Awards are a Deutsche Welle initiative. The Bobs honor outstanding blogs in 17 categories from 11 languages. Mapping diversity, promoting transcultural dialogue. Deutsche Welle supports the right to information and freedom of expression. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Friedrichstadt Palast in Berlin and the truth about the international blogosphere. And of course, welcome to the Bobs, Deutsche Welle's International Weblog Awards. Here's your host, Stefanie Zürin.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Bobs 2010, the Best of Blogs Awards. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, we have a few highlights to look forward to. First, we set a lofty goal, you heard it. We want to try, together with bloggers from all around the world and with some renowned experts for new media, we want to try to get closer to the truth about the international blogosphere. For that, we'll try to get to the core of what blogging really means for democracy. We'll hear from a popular Iranian blogger about her experience and about the latest tricks the Iranian government is using to get to the bloggers in Iran. We'll find out what is so special about blogging in Bangladesh. And last but not least, we want to give you, our audience, a chance to join into our discussion, to ask some questions, to discuss with some of our members of the international jury. And on top of all that, of course, we'll announce this year's winners of the Best of Blogs Awards. For the sixth time now, Germany's international broadcaster Deutsche Welle is handing out the BOBS, the Best of Blogs Awards, the awards for the world's best web blogs, podcasts, and video blogs. Blogs from all around the world in 11 different languages were eligible to enter, and we've had a really enormous amount of number of submissions this year. 18,016 blogs from all over the world were submitted to the BOBS panel. An international jury of bloggers has traveled here for Berlin to judge and to find out, to discuss who should win the award. And I'm sure many bloggers are tonight watching this on the live stream, waiting impatiently to find out what the jury has decided. I can tell you, there are some heated discussions going on there behind closed doors. Well, for all you BOBS Awards wannabe winners, we've visited the bloggers who won the BOB Awards in the last year. Let's have a look at what they've got to say.
Ce concours, ce prix a beaucoup changé pour moi parce que mon blog s'est transformé. Ce n'est plus un blog de Cédric Kalonji, c'est devenu une plateforme de blog qui réunit 13 personnes au Congo et qui parlent de leur quotidien sur ce blog-là. Et je pense que c'est grâce en bonne partie au concours de la Deutsche Welle qui m'a offert une visibilité qui a permis que les gens puissent me faire confiance et puissent s'embarquer dans ce projet-là.
Hello, thanks to Bob. I was able to create a platform that allows an increasing number of Ivorian citizens to express themselves. A large free and democratized speech, today I'm being funded to study in one of the most prestigious schools of journalism in France. Many thanks, Bob.
Hello, my name is Borat. No, not really. My name is Dennis and I'm also known as Radio Grinch. And last year, I won this competition. So this year, I would like to congratulate all the winners and greet all the participants. From Russia, with love from Radio Grinch. Very nice.
Deutsche Welle's The Bobs, the best of blogs, is not just an international prize. Perhaps the most important international prize granted to blogs everywhere in the world. The Bobs is also respected because it is a symbol of freedom, democracy, and equality. And it has been accomplishing its basic mission, which is to provoke dialogues all over the world. I'm very proud to be part of it.
Well, before we get to this year's winners, let's have a look at that murky concept, the international blogosphere. One thing that's consistent about it is that the blogosphere is ever growing. To name just one source, BlogPulse lists some 126 million blogs worldwide. What a number. And they've added 42,000 new ones in the last 24 hours alone. The other thing that's consistent about the blogosphere is that it's ever-changing. Just think about the effect that Twitter has had, for example. So what is that thing, the international blogosphere? To shed some light on that, let me introduce my first guest to you. He calls himself a hard blogging scientist. Dissecting, researching, and studying blogs is his passion and his profession. He is a senior researcher for digital interactive media and political communication at the Hans Bredow Institute here in Germany, and he's published numerous scientific papers on blogs. Please give a big round of applause for Dr. Jan-Hendrik Schmidt. Jan, thank you for joining us.
Hi.
Before you get started with your speech, I just want to ask you one thing. I've had a look at your website and your blog, and I've noticed that you've published a paper on blogging practices. So seeing we're talking about the international blogosphere, if you had a look at how someone in India, for example, might use a blog and someone in Germany, what would you say would be the difference?
Well, I have to admit that I haven't studied the Indian blogosphere that much, but the idea of blogging practices actually is my way to allow that there are differences in blogging. Blogging is just a tool, but people use the tool in many different ways. And by taking the practices, that what people actually do with the blogs, that's my way as a sociologist to examine what people do and what the social consequences of blogging might look like.
Well, that sounds very scientific.
Thank you.
Have you noticed any real differences in how people in different countries use blogs?
Apart from the obvious differences in languages, there's of course a big influence of culture, and the topics that are prevalent in a society might differ between, let's say, Germany and India, for example. And of course, there are topical differences. And in that respect, let's say a fashion blogger from, the United States might be pretty similar to a fashion blogger from, let's say, Bangladesh. Or a sports blogger in India might be similar to a sports blogger in France.
So it's about the topics then. Well, let's hear some more about that in your speech. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. I'm here as a witness. I was told before that I have to witness or tell you some truths about the international blogospheres. So I want to make three arguments, basically. The first argument, and it came up in the introductory remarks, is that blogs are able to fulfill different needs for the people who use blogs, who use the tool of blogs. And I'd like to distinguish three different functions or three different practices. You see them up there. The first practice would be that blogs allow people to express themselves, to express ideas or something that happens to them, some things they want to talk about, maybe even professional expertise or something like that. So the first blogging practice would be practices that allow people to express themselves. They don't do it only to express themselves, but to do the second thing, to connect to other people, to engage in conversations, to discuss things that are personally relevant to them. And the third practice blogs are able to help us do is they help us to filter information, to share knowledge with each other, to gain new knowledge by filtering and distributing information. So these three practices are sort of at the heart of blogging, at least from my perspective. But then, as I said before, there is no such thing as the blog. Again, there are so many different practices, topics, cultures, languages. As there are, Stephanie said, there are like literally hundreds of millions of bloggers out there. So you could say that there are literally more than hundreds of millions of blogging practices. So that I go to my second argument then. What are the similarities? Well, if you look at the way people use the tools to engage in discussion, you might find that all over the different blogs, you find one similar structure, and that is blogs allow for distributed conversations. That is what a colleague from the Netherlands, Lilia Efimova, called it, that people who use blogs comment on each other's blogs, they link to each other's blogs, they take arguments and refine them, they share some knowledge, and so there are distributed conversations which connect different blogs. So in this respect, blogs are a different space than, for example, chat rooms or social network sites or discussion boards, because blogs and the conversations between blogs are distributed over different places. So this leads to the second part of the argument. If we have a look at the different distributed conversations, this means that not all blogs are connected to all each other blogs in the international blogospheres, but there are centers and distributions that might span different cultures or different topics. So in the end, we'll reach what other people have researched, national or language blogospheres. There's a lot of amazing work out there where people visualize national blogospheres, for example. You see some work here by John Kelly, who mapped networks of interconnected blogs, for example, the French blogosphere to the left or the Iranian blogosphere to the right. And you can see, I won't go into detail with these visualizations, but you can see from looking at them that they have the whole network structure is different. There are different centers. And if you want to zoom in on one of these clusters, you might see, okay, well, this is a cluster of people who blog about, let's say, fashion, or who blog about politics, or who blog about religion. So second argument would be the single blog fulfills different functions, but the connections between the blogs through hyperlinks, through comments, through track tracks, help foster distributed conversations and networks of connected blogs. My third argument then is, the topic of what do we know actually about the international blogosphere. And from the research perspective, I'd say, well, unfortunately, we don't know very much. We know some things about national blogospheres, as you've seen by John Kelly, for example, or his work. But there has been no really comparative studies comparing, for example, the different practices of people blogging in the United States and in Bangladesh or in France and in India, for example. So that's something we as researchers have to work on. What I'd argue is that all too often we focus on the dominant model of the US blogosphere as sort of the role model of blogging. But I'd argue that by looking only at the US model, we probably neglect some other particularities of national blogospheres, because in the United States, blogs, the dominant model of blogging, is something special. It's positioned against the journalism, the practice of journalism. Some see it as a sort of substitute for journalism. Some argue that blogs complement journalism. But then I'd say that this is only part of the story. And what we really should do is compare different cultures of blogging, compare different languages, and the most important thing, compare different topics. And only by doing that, we really get to get an understanding of what the international blogospheres are about. Actually, and to be honest, that's why I'm so glad to be here, because, well, I said we as researchers failed to really do this diversity of blogs really justice. I'm really glad that the Deutsche Welle has it's not the first time, so for many, many years now, has gave out the Bob Awards to honor and to sort of bring into light these differences and the good examples what blogging can do in different countries. That's why I'm proud to be part of the Bob Awards. That's why I'm looking forward to the winners of this year's award. Thank you.
Ein Moment noch. So thank you very much. Thanks for being with us today. Thank you, Jan. Right. To decide who deserves to win a Bob's Awards, Deutsche Welle has brought together an international jury, some bloggers from all around the world, some new media experts. They've traveled here to Berlin from a lot of different countries. They've come from China, Bahrain, Indonesia, Iran, Brazil, France, Russia, the US. And of course, they're here tonight. Guys, why don't you get up, show yourselves. Let's give a round of applause to our jury for the Bob's Awards. Well, and I hear it's been very, very hard to decide who should win. It took two strenuous days of discussing and voting and so on and so forth. And we actually snuck in with a camera. So let's have a look at what happened behind the closed doors.
Behind the store, the jury is deliberating, choosing the best web blogs of the year. What I know exactly is that there are 11 languages, international jury members, and a host of interesting web blogs. So let's take a look inside.
Fred Esmeri, and what he does is, and this is a breakthrough.
Well, I'm already inside the room and no one seems to be taking the slightest notice.
You know, it's almost
it seems quite busy in here. The debate about the best of blogs is obviously consuming all their mental resources. But what makes it so difficult to choose the best of the web blogs?
It's very difficult because we have different criteria to select one, to choose one.
The languages, because for some part you can't understand the content, so you can't understand the real their beauty of the languages.
For the first session in the morning, it wasn't really difficult because we were in a sort of consensus, like many of the blogs that won with an overwhelming majority. But I think the real competition will start in the afternoon session with the bigger prizes.
Even during the lunch break, the jury members eat, drink, and sleep blogs and are still totally engrossed in their discussion. What makes the work so interesting?
Because you get the visions from other people, the other people in the jury, that they bring things that you would never be able to know by yourself. Like even being on the internet, you can see the video, you can see, but you don't understand the whole picture.
The 30-minute break is over and the jury is back at work. Let's see what has made blogging so important in the last couple of years.
We are an open platform to say what the people want to say, whatever they say.
Every year, new blogs, new discussions, and new winners. We are now in the last hour of the session, and the jury is only one step away from the final results.
It's been a long day and a lot of hard work. The jury has come to a decision and the results are in my hand. But I can't let you know just yet.
Well, we'll find out in a minute just what they've decided. The Bob Awards, let me tell you, they are the largest international web blog awards, the largest, as we heard, because blogs in 11 different languages are eligible for voting. Languages such as Arabic, Bengali, Chinese, Indonesian, or Persian, to name just a few. Now, let's get started with the awards. And for that, I would like to introduce one member of our international jury to you. He is an award-winning writer and journalist. He is editor-in-chief of a blog called Media Shift of PBS. PBS is the American non-profit public broadcasting service. He also writes regularly for the Online Publishers Association. And in his Twitter account, he introduces himself as editor-in-chief of PBS Media Shift, a writer, a dad, a singer, and a ridiculous maker, which I really liked. Please welcome with me from the US, Mark Glaser. Mark, you ridiculous maker.
Yes.
Thanks for joining me.
Happy to be here. Cause as much trouble as possible.
Mark, I've read some of your stuff, and it seems to me that unlike many other journalists, you're quite excited about the new media and all the options that it can have, all the opportunities that it can bring for traditional media. Tell us more.
Well, I think a lot of people talk about crisis in journalism and how journalism is going to hell and everyone's losing their jobs, but I think there's also a flip side of that. And there's a lot of digital jobs being created, and there's a lot of opportunity for people who weren't in professional journalism, bloggers and other people, to have their voice heard on the internet, to be able to start a blog, start a podcast, start a video channel, and get the word out. So it's the democratization of media that excites me, because it's letting more voices into the conversation. It's not about media telling us what's going on, but it's about us fact-checking and doing the work of journalists as well.
So it's a chance for journalists also, not a threat, so everyone gets started.
And
right?
I think they can work together and create something even better.
Yeah. Well, let's hear some more. Your keynote speech, we're waiting for it.
Okay. So the first award goes to, it's the best weblog in Arabic, and it goes to the Osama blog by Osama Romo.
Woo-hoo.
Not the Osama you might have thought. Osama Romo is a Jordanian who writes about social issues. He speaks to the entire Arab world, covers politics, social issues, the economy, and youth, and really speaks out to the Arab world about important issues that matter to them. Next up is the best weblog in Bengali, and the winner is Ali Mohammed's blog. And Ali is known as a pioneer in the young Bengali blogosphere, which you'll hear a little bit more about later. He writes in a very simple style. He has a humorous take on politics, social issues, and daily life. He's the winner of the best Bengali blog. Next up is the best weblog in Chinese, and the winner is Kay Neng Ba, which is written by Jason Ng and his team. He's a young blogger who writes about technology and free access to the internet. He discusses on his blog the recent decision of Google to not stop censoring its website. He represents the young generation in China that's wired, smart, and socially conscious. And the next best Bob's best weblog winner is in English, and the winner is Talk Morocco. It's a group weblog that is actually an open discussion and debate on social issues in Morocco and for people in the diaspora who used to live in Morocco or are living elsewhere in the world. It's a forum for bloggers to discuss taboos and restricted topics that don't usually go into the mainstream media in Morocco. Recently, they had a discussion about International Women's Day and about women's issues in Morocco. Give it up for the Talk Morocco blog. The next Bob's winner is the best weblog in French. And the winner is La Monolecte by Agnes Maillard. And she's known for her beautiful writing, which goes back to the roots of blogging as a personal diary. She's a woman, mother, and business owner, and she writes about global events. Give it up for the best weblog in French. And finally, the domestic award, the Bob's for the best weblog in German. And it goes to Der Postillon by Stefan Schirmann. Some of you may know this one. It's a beloved satirical paper that includes a story about Satanists joining the Catholic Church. Now that's a new trend happening. It's modeled on The Onion, a satirical American newspaper, and is written in a style of a newspaper that also lampoons the media. Give it up for the best weblog in German.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks, and congratulations to the winners out there. We've got a live stream and live blogging, of course, so we should have some excited bloggers out there now. Well, now once more, we'll try to get closer to the core of what blogging means in our society today, for democracy especially, and especially when it comes to the traditional media and politics. I will speak about that with two members of our international jury. Please, let's welcome on stage Lucie Morion and Jens Berger. Hi, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Hello. So let me introduce. Lucy has quite an interesting job. She fights for jailed cyber dissidents and reporters. She hassles politicians, and she works tirelessly with the mainstream media to get her point across. Lucy works for Reporters Without Borders.
Thank you.
And then I've got Jens Berger with me. Jens is a German blogger, one of the most, well, the well-known German bloggers. His blog is one of the most read ones, according to deutscheblogcharts.com. Well, it says that. And I think that his posts are very critical, insightful, analytical, and they've got great photo montages. I love them. So there's Jens. Thank you for joining us today, both of you. So Jens, in our Western democracy, where we are quite lucky and we have freedom of press, more or less, why do we need political bloggers at all?
Yes, if you see the public opinion, you can compare it to a bunch of flowers. There are red roses, there are white lilies and yellow tulips, and even a little bit of nasty esters, of course. But the big media doesn't represent the whole scale of the public opinion. You only have the yellow tulips, for example, and the blogosphere's great job is to cover the whole bunch of flowers and to discuss things that the big media wouldn't discuss. You don't have very much controversy in the media in our times. In other times it was different. And that's, in my opinion, is a function of the blogs.
So I love that pictures. We users can all pick the flowers that we like. That's great. Yeah. Jens, what would you say, and Lucy, what would you say are examples where you feel that the traditional media has maybe failed in their reporting?
I think the biggest failure was the financial crisis. You don't have critical coverage of the financial systems before the financial crisis appeared. In the international blogosphere, you had these critical articles. For 2 weeks ago, I think, there's a study from the Otto Brunner Stiftung has been published, and the researchers they take a look at the coverage in the classic media, in the Tagesschau, the biggest German news format, and the big papers, and they came to conclusion that all the media failed on full scale.
Mm. Lucy, what's your view? Any examples?
Another pretty well-known example is, most American media didn't challenge enough the Bush administration claims regarding weapons of mass destruction in the run-up to the war in Iraq. I think that's one of the most well-known examples. In another country like Malaysia as well, the traditional media are known for relaying the propaganda of the government. And this is a country where the bloggers are actually the ones that are most believed by the people. When something is published online, this is what people tend to believe.
Mm. That's not so different in Germany. When you look at the Afghanistan war, for example, you don't find any blog who is in favor of the war in Afghanistan. But in the classic media, it's different. And the public opinion is that nowadays there are 80% of the public opinion, they are against this war. So the bloggers are with the public opinion and the classic media are opposed to this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will talk a bit more about the difficulties that bloggers face in internet restricting countries later, but we've all know the examples in Iran, in China. We are very lucky in our Western democracies. Still, what would you two say? What challenges do bloggers face here?
Yes, in Germany, You can't compare it to countries like China or like Iran. But if the German bloggers want to be a part of the public opinion, want to go to the people, then they must take a little bit more serious. And people who don't have that much experience with the internet, they distrust often distrust bloggers, and they trust the classic media. Of course, this has a reason. When you read about or you hear about blogging in the classic media, it always have it's always in a little bit lurky manner. Either the bloggers are nerds or geeks, or in some cases they're even described as fools. And
yeah, nerds or geeks, not possible. What are you talking about? I'm sure that's not.
Yeah, but Mahatma Gandhi, the English freedom fighter, once said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win. I hope we will make it without the fight. But
we'll win. Well, then.
I think
Lucy, what do you think? You've worked in a lot of countries and with bloggers in a lot of countries, internet-restricting countries. What do you think could bloggers here learn from bloggers around the world? How could they all support each other better?
Yeah, well, I mean, Reporters Without Borders deals with a lot of countries that do restrict the internet or press freedom more generally speaking. And it's true that when you look at those bloggers, they can spend years in jail for a picture or a post too many. So they have another perspective about writing. And I think it's something bloggers here and in our democratic countries can learn from, the fact that it's important to be covering stories of general interest for the public. It's important to continue to hold those in powers accountable. And something else, it's important to show solidarity with the people who do not experience the same sort of freedom of expression we have. Something very simple would be any of us here can actually take part in this fight against censorship. You just go online, you download one of those software that help people get around censorship, like Tor, for instance, and then your computer can be part of this network of computers being used by Iranian or Chinese bloggers and internet users to help them get around their great firewalls. That's a very easy thing to do, and it would help greatly for the defense of online free speech worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Right, so I'm sure if anyone wants to offer their computer to bloggers and they don't know how, they can ask Lucy after our program.
Sure, and they can go online on our website, www.rsf.org, and check out our, we have a guide specifically for bloggers and cyber dissidents, so we have a lot of details on these techniques online.
Great. Well, thank you two for joining me. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
It was an honor.
So, now already it's time for me to call Mark Glaser back onto the stage to hand out some more Bob's Awards. There's still some language awards to come, so let's give him a round of applause. There he is. I see the hat coming. Mark. Mark, there you are again. When you guys were voting and discussing, I was very briefly allowed into the holy halls of the jury meetings.
Or unholy.
Well, tell me, first of all, are you guys still speaking with each other?
For the most part, I think people are still speaking to each other. You know, we actually, there's a lot of camaraderie among the jury members, and I think even though we do get into some pretty heated debates and arguments, we do still kind of kiss and make up afterwards. So,
all right, I'm glad. I wasn't there for the kissing part, damn it. Mark, we heard that, you know, it's very hard to decide, apparently. You had, it took a long time. What made it hard for you, personally, to decide?
Well, I think the difficulty is that there are just so many good blogs that are nominated and are finalists, and it's just very difficult to choose among them because one could be good for something and one could be good for something else, and one's humorous and one's obscene and one's amazing and incredible. So they're all over the map when you look at blogs. So sometimes it's difficult to make that decision. In the case of one very heated debate between myself and another jury member, the other jury member just kind of talked himself out of it. And so that's how it worked out for me
good.
That time. Yeah, I was lucky.
Well done. Right, well, let's not make our nominees... Well, they're all laughing over there. Let's not make our nominees...
Okay, one's not going to kiss me now.
So. Oh, I see. Let's not make our nominees wait any longer. Please, go ahead, present some more awards.
Okay. So next up in the Bobs is the best weblog in Indonesian. And the winner is Katatan Ringan Angin Anginanan by Ancho Renjoko. And this weblog looks at social problems and history from a lay perspective. And the motto of this blogger is, at my whim with no deadline. So that, give it up for the Indonesian best blog. The next one is the best weblog in Persian. And the winner is, what kind of country do we live in? A group blog by 27 men and women. And this weblog is a minimalist, sarcastic, and critical view of society and politics in Iran. And the blog title is put at the end of each post, what kind of country do we live in? It's kind of an ironic comment on it, life in Iran. Give it up for the best weblog in Persian. Next up is the Bob for the best weblog in Portuguese. And the winner is Fisica Nave by Dulcido Braz Jr. This one is about physics by a physics teacher who makes it very easy to understand and is a fun way of learning about physics, a topic that a lot of people don't necessarily like. But a lot of other people would like to have this blog translated into other languages so they could understand physics more. He also shows people how 3D movies work in one of his blog posts. Give it up for the best weblog in Portuguese. Next up is the best weblog in Russian. And the winner is Metcare.com by Ilja Kabanow. And this is a blog about people and irrational behavior. Ilja is a woman who combines coverage of new gadgets and technology with old books and traditions. Give it up for the best weblog in Russian. And finally, the last but not least, the Bob for the best weblog in Spanish. And the winner is La Vuelta a Mundo de Asun y Ricardo by Ricardo Ribalda. And this is a blog that you have to love. It's about a couple that on their 25th anniversary, they're from Spain, and they decided to travel the world and write about it on their blog. And it's a journal of their adventures, and they also give out information for others who want to make a similar trip around the world. Give it up for the best weblog in Spanish.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you. And congratulations to the winners, of course. We'll have some more awards to come, so we'll see him back here again soon. But now let's move on to something very different. Some think that this set of events that we're going to be talking about now gave a new dimension to the importance of the internet and blogs in particular. In June 2009, elections were being held in Iran, and President Ahmadinejad won again. His main opponent, Mirosein Mousavi, called the election results a dangerous charade, and that was the beginning of one of the biggest protest movements in Iranian history. The government, as usual, used violence to suppress the protests, but people still took to the street. On June 20th, 2009, riot police was sent out to disperse a big group of demonstrators, and a young woman was shot and died. Her death became known as a symbol of the Green Revolution through the internet. Our next report has more on that.
An onlooker with a mobile phone captured Neda Aga Sultan's death on video and broadcast it around the world on the internet. Web users posted thousands of messages on Twitter and blogs, as well as videos and photos. Worldwide, websites carried green banners and avatars to show solidarity with the demonstrators. Neda's death became a powerful symbol in the struggle for human rights in Iran as demonstrators disputed the presidential election results. Since 1979, voicing dissent or protest in the Islamic Republic of Iran is considered blasphemy. Here, dissidents being brought to court. In the weeks following the disputed presidential elections in 2009, some 4,000 protesters, dissident journalists, and politicians were injured and arrested, many thrown into prison. The protests, however, continued.
The situation of the freedom of press in Iran is getting worse. International journalists are set free and then asked to leave the country. We fear there will soon be no more international journalists based in Iran. Iranian journalists are also being arrested in large numbers. At least 34 have been imprisoned.
International broadcasters like the BBC and Deutsche Welle have been jammed. Tehran has become one of the world's worst offenders against press freedom. The international media were barred in Iran after the elections, but dissidents still managed to post videos of protests and riots on social networking sites such as YouTube and Facebook. The Iranian government is putting bloggers on trial and blocking their sites, but they still managed to outwit state censorship, and the internet remains the voice of free expression for the people.
Well, we'll hear more about the censorship of bloggers in Iran and the situation there anyway from our Iranian jury member, which I'd like to introduce to you now. She is an Iranian journalist, a women's rights activist, and a blogger. In Iran, the word woman is being filtered in search engines, supposedly because the authorities are scared of women's rights groups. And bloggers there say that she is one of the women the government is scared of. My first impression when I met her was that she's very strong and very determined. She got arrested in Tehran in 2007 when she was on her way to a cyber journalism workshop. They imprisoned her, they kept her there for 2 days, they searched her house, they kept her passport for quite a while. They were watching her every move after that. Another example, a security guard once told her that he knew the secret password to her private blog, and I really loved her reaction. She told him to use it and post something. Please welcome on stage Farnaz Seyfi. Farnaz, thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Please tell me, I would love to know, that experience you had with the security guard who knew your password, was that the most maybe blatant example of censorship you experienced?
Well, it's very hard to say if it was the worst one or not, because when it, you know, when censorship become part of your routine and daily life, it's really hard to choose specific things. But I can say that I was very shocked, and my first reaction when he said that, I just hysterically started laughing and said, then why aren't you come blogging with me? Then if you have access to everything, maybe we can blog together. But after that, I just came to that conclusion, well, that's the situation, and I have to use myself to accept the fact that I am living in a house with glass walls. And everything I'm doing or writing is monitored by them. If you could learn yourself to cope with that, well, then at least you can continue what you are doing.
I don't think any of us can imagine what that's like. Well, in a few minutes, you'll have the opportunity to ask Farnaz a few questions. But before we get started with that, we'd like to love you. We'd like to hear your keynote speech.
Please, yes, thank you. Can I use
of course.
The table? Okay. Okay. Well, with at least 55 journalists and bloggers in jails, a third of all those journalists in jail all around the world, alongside at least 50 more who was arrested after the presidential election in Iran and now just released on bail, and more than 20 medias which were banned during recent months, Islamic Republic of Iran is again the biggest prison of journalists and one of the biggest enemies of freedom of expression in the world. In most cases, authorities have filed charges such as propagation against the regime, insulting authorities, and disrupting public order. But many cases of the journalists and bloggers are just kept in secrecy without even formal charges ever being disclosed. Islamic Republic of Iran systematically and legally censors the media. Just recently, 36 parliamentarians who support Mahmoud Ahmadinejad presented a bill under which detained government opponents, including cyber activists, would be regarded as muharib, which means enemies of God, who should be executed within a maximum of 5 days of their arrest. The authorities continuously shut down or revoke the media's license alongside defining more and more red lines for the few reformist medias which are still could work in Iran. Well, you can imagine in such a kind of atmosphere, blogging and internet from the very beginning has a functioning role as be used as an alternative media in Iran. Among the first group of Iranian bloggers, many were the reformist newspapers journalists who could not write freely in their dailies or in their magazines, so they started blogging and put what they cannot say in official media in their blog. The use of internet and blog as an alternative media is just expanded more and more during the years because the censorship is just definitely grew more and more. Much has written and said about how Iranian young people, how Iranian journalists or bloggers or youths use internet to express themselves or criticizing the government. But few have said about how Iranian authorities use technology and internet to identify, suppress, and control us, Iranian cyber activists. Internet in its first decade of presence in Iran enjoyed a more or less free situation. The government did not start restricting the access to internet till 2002. Initially, the Iranian authorities used a filtering system to stop the Iranian people from having access to pornographic websites. This plan was done successfully after approximately 6 million sexual websites were blocked. And I should say, from the Iranian people at that time, there was not much of criticism against what the government did. But their plan for stopping anti-government weblogs and websites started 2 years later, from 2004. It was almost the same time that the Iranian authorities start to control the speed of internet too, and didn't let any individual or companies to have access to the high-speed internet. The Islamic Republic's filtering system, when they started first filtering the weblog, was not very developed initially. But it was at the first phase, it was like the individual personnel should see it and search for those weblogs and websites that their contents might be against the rules of Islamic Republic, and they blocked the address. Passing this kind of filtering was also easy. We just need a proxy address to pass this kind of filtering. But although this old proxy technique were sufficient in blocking many weblogs, it has not been successful in performing all of the Iranian authorities' goals. Consequently, the Iranian security officers have been thinking of adopting new system. Gradually, they developed the system more and more, bought new technologies from China for more effective filtering way. After installing the new systems and equipment, even if your web page contains certain words like women's movement or sex, it would be blocked regardless of the content of your web blog. Iran's security agency then come up with a new solution to this problem. They started the National Filtering Intelligence Bank, which we call it NFIB. The NFIB combines the current method, which is filtering the keywords, and now evaluates the content of the websites. And the new system also uses personnel, in addition to robot software, to search for all those weblog or websites which contains the words or the content which, according to them, is against their rule and values. But the situation just got to a very dangerous point when the Revolutionary Guard of the Islamic Republic started to involve in censoring the internet. Revolutionary Guard, you should know, is not the official army of the country, but it is actually an army which was started to work during the Iran and Iraq war. And during the years, they become like the most powerful institution in Iran in many aspects, politically, economically, and now in censoring the internet as well. The Revolutionary Guard had involved in internet censorship gradually became really the main institute which we should be feared of them. You know, before they are starting to censor the internet, the authorities' knowledge about internet was really limited. They were not really well known about what is going on in the cyberspace. I remember the first time I was asked to the intelligence ministry of Iran for interrogations. On that time, I, alongside some of my friends, run an online magazine, and they were just asking lots of questions from me that where is the place that the staff of magazine meet each other? And I just tried to describe them that each of us sit in our house behind our laptop and do our job. We don't need an actual place to meet each other. This is cyberspace, it's different, but it was very hard for them to understand and to get what I mean. But when the Revolutionary Guard entered that in this field, you know, their knowledge was also expanded so much because they entered in a very organized way. What they did, they attracted young, loyal Muslims with a very, very good knowledge about technology and internet for their agenda. Because they believe just censoring and controlling the internet is not enough. And if they want to win this, what so-called they call it, battle, they have to spread their own propaganda and mobilize their own supporters in the cyberspace as well. From 3 years ago, suddenly in our blog sphere, the number of religious blogs loyal to the Islamic Republic values and the supreme leader of the country increased so much, and they established their own weblog groups, seminars with the governmental budgets and help. And their internet department also made a very famous dangerous website which called Gerdbad. They said the goal of this website is destroying all the offensive anti-religion, anti-regime websites. So far, the members of this website hacked several Iranian weblogs and news websites, identifying some of the internet activists through their IPs, arresting them, forced them to come to the national state TV, confessing that they are enemies of God, spies of Western country, and responsible for cyber war and propaganda against the Islamic regime. The personnel of the Internet Department of Revolutionary Guard are also very active in Iranian forums, comment section of YouTube regarding any video related to crisis in Iran, and famous political weblogs to push their own propaganda and start fights with the opponents. The Guard also officially launched what they called Iranian Cyber Army. This virtual army now became the pioneer of what we called cyber terrorism. They attacked Green Movement news website, critical weblogs, and at some point they even hacked Twitter for a few hours, which if you saw Twitter at that time, this message came that this site has been hacked by Iranian cyber army. USA think they controlling and manage our internet by their access, but they don't. We control and manage internet by our power, so do not try to stimulate Iranian people. They also hold the first cyber war seminar recently in Tehran to discuss and find better solutions to win what they call this battle of right themselves against wrong Iranian opponents. The Revolutionary Guard also pushes the Iran's judiciary to pass web crime law just before the election. So by the time of election, they together announced that they are going to monitor all the weblogs and the social networking website and news websites. And that's actually what they really did. That was not just a threat. The authorities had also bought internet control facility from Nokia and Siemens country, and now they are able to control each individual emails, chats, and etc. We had lots of cases after the election that if a cyber activist or blogger or journalist arrested, after he or she released, they said that one of the first things they showed them in their interrogation was the print of their chats or the emails. Now the authorities of Iran want to illustrate national intranet in order to avoid internet users from receiving outside information with help of their Chinese brothers, who in all these years provide necessary censorship equipments for them. Now, by all these restrictions, what are the internet users' way to pass through this censor? Actually, normally there are various means of passing through the filter, but two of them are most common in Iran. The first method is using web pages that act as an anti-filter. The user signs in, types the specific address in the relevant part, and enters the site. But you know, this method is not very usable anymore, because the disadvantage of the method is that the web page itself could be filtered, which already happened for many, many of the anti-filter websites. But the second method is there are now techniques which use anti-filter softwares rather than anti-filter pictures, such as UltraSurf, FreeGate, and GPass, which are the most popular filtering softwares in Iran. And in relation to UltraSurf, Iranian filtering system have unfortunately again been able to somehow access the port of the software, but it is still the most common way to pass through the censorship. Well, it is noticeable that since internet filtering commenced in Iran so as to prevent the public from having access to information and the free cyberspace, It not only has the popularity of the blogs and publication on freedom of speech and democracy not been decreased at all, but also because of the excitement of access to the true information and uncensored information, these websites and weblogs has been dramatically more popular. Actually, the post-election crisis in Iran, I guess, showed all of us that how Iranian bloggers and Web2 users act as the main source of information to tell the world what's going on inside Iran in absence of free media and the foreign medias. Actually, in a way, I agree with Iranian revolutionary God that we are in the middle of a cyber war. Sometimes they are the ones who achieve their goals, sometimes we are the ones who achieve our goals. But we should remember that the greatest mistake repeatedly made by the selfish government like Islamic Republic of Iran is the forceful repression of freedom of speech. Thank you.
Thank you. Hanno, step over here with me, please. Wow, what a speech. A lot of information there. Step forward with me, please. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm happy now to ask you guys to pose any questions. There's a microphone over there. Please raise your hand. I can't see very well, but I'll try. Is there anyone who's got a question? Well, why people get organized, Farnaz, let me think. I read that you had to move to the Netherlands because being controlled so strictly by the Iranian government. How has that changed how you can work?
What do you exactly mean? How does that change? Yes, I had.
You've got a lot more options now, obviously. What can you do now to help bloggers in Iran from the Netherlands?
I try to find, you know, new proxy website address for my friends who are still in Iran and working so hard, or introducing new software, or because for buying some of the softwares you need to buy them from the online shops, which are mostly in Europe, and it's not possible for most of the Iranians to shop online from the European store. So I try to buy them and pass them the necessary equipment to pass through the filters.
So that's an option. That's an option that maybe some other bloggers internationally could use as well to help people.
Well, yes, that is really helpful if they could do.
Well, is there someone who's got a question? Stand up, raise your hands. We're waiting. This is your chance.
Over here.
Yeah, speak up. Sorry, I can't see, but I can hear.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Hi. I was wondering whether you have an opinion, or some of your fellow activists in Iran, that there's a track here going on about control and security on the internet, deep packet inspection and stuff like that. And it's usually Western companies that supply the infrastructure and the technology to be used for controlling information technology in countries like Iran, in countries like China. It's Siemens, it's Nokia, it's Cisco Systems. Is there a discussion about that in your country?
Well, yes, there was like 3 months after the election, there was huge talks about it, because Iranian public opinion is so upset about when they found out that Siemens and Nokia are the responsible countries who sell the necessary equipments to the government in Iran to control chats and emails as well. And actually, a campaign was also initiated to boycott all the Siemens and Nokia products in country, which is still goes on. Still, many of the activists decided they are not going to buy anything from Nokia and Siemens anymore. And although at one point Nokia said we didn't know that the government of Iran wants this equipment for controlling the people, which is actually something I personally don't believe it, but it is not an enough answer for anyone. And yes, people talks about it, and that is one of the main things many of the Iranian opponents want, that if you want to help me, to help us in our fight, what we need is free access to information. And what we need is that you are not helping the Iranian government for more controlling, censoring, and suppression towards us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another question? Someone else?
Hey. In Germany and in other countries in the free Western world, there was and is a big discussion about index, about internet censorship. If you look at your own experiences in Iran, do you think it is ridiculous what we bother about?
No, internet censorship in no country is ridiculous for me. As I told you, the first phase of censorship in Iran was also started by pornographic and sexual website, which as I'm following about the European countries, what goes on in European Union. Again, there are lots of discussions about restricting the access to pornographic websites for many of them. For me, it is a serious issue. I don't think restricting access to information in any country is a ridiculous thing. I think that's good that many German bloggers are paying attention to this, and they are want to do something against it. It is not funny at all.
One more. Another question? Someone else? Yes, please.
Yeah, I have two questions. The first one is, do you have any knowledge about your readers? Like, is it more like the intellectual people from Tehran, or is it like all over the country? I mean, probably it's not like the access to the internet is like similar all over Iran.
Yes, I have. No, actually, it's much more than what you thought. According to the latest official statistics of the government, 25 million of Iranians use internet in a daily basis. And many, many Iranians in the small cities and villages also had access to internet. They write blogs, they tweet, and they read blogs and things. And among my readers also, it's a various group. I can say, well, most of them are like a young group of people living in big cities or living in outside of Iran. But there are also lots of readers among small cities, or even I know I sometimes receive emails from older people living in villages and things. So I can say it's a diverse community.
Okay. And the second question is, do you have any experience about using new technologies to avoid censorship, like darknets, and also like protecting the bloggers to stay anonymous?
Well, unfortunately, because I'm not living anymore there, I'm not personally need them to use them. But because I'm following the news, it is not still very common in Iran because, in all the new technologies you are talking about, you should consider the fact that the government of Iran control the speed of the internet. So we don't have really high speed internet like most of the countries. And for any new technology, if it wants to be applicable, you should consider that to introduce something with the limitations of the speed of internet there.
Mm-hmm. One more question.
Last one.
Yeah, is there any possibility of translation of Farsi content into English or?
No, I don't get the question either. Please
is there,
repeat.
Is there any into English translated blogs of Iran? So I can read them without using machines.
Yes, Google has the Persian translation section and also Persian to English, so you can use it to translate some of the stuff.
But to your knowledge, are there any bloggers in Iran that are blogging in English?
Well, yes, there are lots of Iranian bloggers who blog. I can give you after that a name of a website which contains most of the Iranian bloggers who blog in English too. Their links, so you can access through.
All right, thank you. I think we'll have to leave it at that. Let's give a big round of applause for Fanos. Thank you very much for being here. Thanks for your contribution.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, and now it's time for me again to call Mark up on stage. It's time to hand out the main awards of the BOBS. They are non-language specific, and they are the Reporters Without Borders Award, the Best Video Blog, the Best Podcast, and our Special Topic Award. This year it's in the Climate category. Well, Mark, go ahead, do your thing.
Okay. Before we get to the really serious awards, we're going to start with the Blogverst Award for the weird, strange, and funny blogs. And in this category, we actually couldn't decide one winner, so we picked two winners. The first winner is Blogs do LM by Victor Knijic in Portuguese. And this one literally had us rolling on the floor. It was so funny. It's basically a fictional blog post written by famous dead people like Andy Warhol, Mao Zedong, and Lady Di. So we really enjoyed it. It's pretty good. The other one that won is called Wake Up Mr. Green, a Russian blog by Tebe Internesno. And that one has a lot of drawings, photos, collages, and eccentric ideas and creations. Give it up for the Russian blog, Wake Up Mr. Green, Blogverst. Next up is the Best Podcast. And the winner of Best Podcast is the Cajun French Tutorials by Jim Leger. And that one's in French. What Jim does is he gives tutorials in the Cajun language, which is a former colonial language in the U.S. in Louisiana that was used by the French in the 16th century. He gives lessons on how to learn Cajun and reads The Prodigal Son in Cajun. He keeps the language alive and helps nurture the roots of Cajun. Give it up for Jim Leger, the Best Podcast. And then we have the Best Video Blog. And you're in for a treat because you're going to actually get to see a piece of it. The winner is Mr. Freeman, who is an anonymous Russian man, we think, who does an animated character who makes misanthropic and wicked acts. He directs a lot of his invective against the internet community, and his message is wake up and start thinking for yourself. Check it out.
Сегодня, дорогие мои, не будет никаких сантиментов и никакого жевания соплей, только жесткач и правда в чистом виде.
Кто не хочет или боится, свободен.
Никого не держу. До свидульки и пошли вон. Мне надоело ваше постоянное нытье и утомленные интонации. Что улыбитесь? Я сказал вон отсюда! Это моя территория!
Вокруг меня тысячи комментариев. Это я уже видел. Мэ-мэ-мэ. Как это круто. Подростковый солипсизм. Бэ-бэ-бэ.
Избранный, ненадежный, избранный.
Старо как мир. Скажите мне, что все эти комментаторы сделали в своей жизни нового и интересного? Они вообще что-нибудь в ней создали? Пока я вижу, что у меня просто насрано в комментариях. Больше ничего! Вот есть же у людей руки, голова, задница. Что они сделали ими, кроме говна? Которая непрерывно отправляется в унитаз и в интернет. В унитаз и в интернет. В унитаз и в интернет. Что останется после вас с вашим детям и внукам? Чужие бугагашечки в уютных жжжжешечках? Или эта позиция?
Ну, это я уже видел, это уже было. Дайте мне что-нибудь новенькое, чтобы я поржал.
В зомбоящике уже столько каналов наплодили, чтобы ни о чем не думать, а хавать ржаку! Теперь можно одупляться круглые сутки, вообще не включая мозги! Жрать, срать, ржать! 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 Жрать, срать, ржать!
люди, ау, посмотрите на себя.
Тысячи комментов по всей сети. И что мы видим? Кругом
говно, говно, говно. И лишь единицы уловили месседж. Туго всасываете, господа.
Туго всасываете.
А если все уже видели, то почему ничего не изменили в своей жизни? Я смотрю, все такие невхерственные и крутые. А любого прикуй наручниками к батарее, встань напротив с бейсбольной битой. И куда денется вся эта невхерственная крутизна? А? В штаны? Вместе с адреналином!
Не успели пригнуться? Ага! 7-0! Подвижнее нужно быть, золотые мои! Говорят, что я такое же быдло, как и все. Господа хорошие, для системы ценностей большинства людей я значительно хуже! Интересненько, что вы мне теперь напишете. Или, может, все-таки стоит поменять систему?
Wow. Interesting stuff. I hope you could read it. If not, check it out. That was quite something. Mark, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't go away too far. We'll have the main awards. Oh, there's one more. Well, go ahead.
Okay. Just one comment on that particular blog. There were 722 comments on that blog, on that video blog, even though it was about comments itself, obviously. We also have... On a totally different note, we have the Reporters Without Borders Award, which goes out to a blogger who takes seriously and advances free speech in different parts of the world. And the winner of that award is We Are Journalists, a Persian blog by Zila Bani Yaqob. And she's a hero of free expression in Iran. She's written about interrogation techniques and people who've been jailed and in prisons in Iran after the last year's elections. She's been arrested 3 times, and her husband is currently serving a 7-year sentence in jail in Iran. And she takes the heroic step of actually writing about what goes on in prisons in Iran. Let's hear it for We Are Journalists. Reporters Without Borders winner. And the second to last award is our special topic. This year, the special topic is climate change. And the winner is Coluna Zero by Bruno Rezende, Portuguese blog. And this is actually a young group of Brazilian bloggers who write about ecotourism and environmental consciousness. And they use creative videos to make people think about consumption and overconsumption. Give it up for our climate change winner, best blog. And I'll be back with the best overall web blog later.
Yeah, don't go away too far. Thank you, Mark. Well, like the international blogosphere, the BOBS are ever growing. This year we've added a new language category, which is Bengali. And I would now like to ask our jury member from Bangladesh to come up on stage with me. She's a real pioneer. Yeah, come up here. Jana, thanks for joining us. This is Seida Gushanferdos Jana. Jana, you started the first blog in Bengali, in Bangladesh. When you started, you told me there were 30 bloggers blogging there, and now it's 45,000. And you told me that there's something quite special and unique about blogging in Bengali for you. What is that?
Actually, when we started in 2005, and there was only blogging in English, and there was only 30 to 40 bloggers, and they blogged in English. And we started in Bangla, and now it is more than 46,000 bloggers.
Wow. Ever increasing.
Yeah, and the very important for us in Bangladesh, and a very special point right now, the bloggers in Bangladesh, in Bangla, is very much community-oriented. Yeah, it is not at all virtual anymore.
So yeah. When you say community-orientated, not virtual, you mean that people actually meet?
They meet frequently. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like fun. Yeah. Let's hear some more about blogging in Bangladesh,
thank you.
Please.
Thank you. Yesterday, 14th April, we celebrated the Bangla New Year in Bangladesh. It is a day bringing out the best of Bangladesh. It is very important for us as a new nation to preserve our own culture, traditions, and language in the world of strong media influence. Our bloggers are also a force protecting the bloggers, journalists. Should any separated harassment occur, the local name we use in Bangla, Bad Bhangar Awaj, which means the sound of the dam breaking. Perhaps it is the sound of the media monopoly breaking. The United Nations declared 21st February as International Mother Tongue Day in respect of my countrymen. They sacrificed their lives for their own language in 1952. It is therefore an honor for me to be a part of a team, the company that made blogging in Bangla possible in 2005. We are very social and very community-oriented people in Bangladesh. I would dare to say that Bangladesh is possible the country in the world with the most bloggers belonging in blog communities. The community belonging gives us more collective strength and influence, preserving free speech and open criticism. For 2 years, in 2007 and 2008, our country was under emergency military rule with strict monitoring of the media. Still, we remained brave and had no intervention from the government. All around me, I have very strong bloggers through their blogging, their organizations have made a solid and impressive impact. What we may miss in powerful bloggers, we counter with a fantastic unity and community movement. Bloggers in Bangladesh are mature and resourceful people. The largest age group is 25 to 35 years. They are now more and more becoming the opinion makers. We often see the bloggers are the main source of information in the situation when serious issues occur. Our bloggers obviously write about politics, religion, news, and social issues. At the same time, they run strong campaigns for bringing important issues and needed fixes to the national agenda. I'm very proud of our strong bloggers and the positive impact they have on our country. Together, we help preserve our culture, tradition, and language moving fast towards. Blogging makes waves in a country like Bangladesh, and bloggers become journalists and writers. What comes next is to bring Bangla blogging to the 50 million mobile users of Bangladesh. We may soon skip the PC era all in all. Bangladesh has only 1.5 million active internet users out of a population of 150 million people. Still, in just more than 4 years, we have created a blog community, Samrain Blog. More than 46,000 bloggers in Bangla. We host approximately 75% of the Bangla bloggers in the world. Our success further inspired the growth of more than a dozen similar blog communities. Please visit our blog site, www.samrainblog.net. Thank you.
And thank you very much for being here. Thanks for being with us. Seira Guisha and Ferros Diana, that was. And now, finally, it's time to hand out the Oscar of all our awards tonight. Mark, where are you? Please come up here again. I have to know who won myself. Let us know who won.
Well, I'm like...
Best weblog, yay, let's find out.
Unlike the Oscars, you don't have to stay up till about midnight to find out who won the best weblog. The best weblog overall, before I say who won, I just want to give a special mention to the runner-up, which was the Han Han blog out of China. Let's give a big round of applause to Han Han. who is an excellent blogger about social issues and about, he's also a race car driver and just an excellent writer. But the winner of best weblog overall goes to the Ushahidi blog, founded by Ori Okolo and Eric Herzman, based in Africa. It's an English language blog and gives insight into the Ushahidi projects happening around the world. Ushahidi means testimony in Swahili and is an open source nonprofit mapping platform that helps people around the world map crises and disasters. It began during the post-election violence in Kenya in 2008 and was used to track people in trouble after the Haiti earthquake. People used the service by, they basically, if they were in a spot of violence or there was trouble in Haiti, they would send in through an SMS message or on the web, they would make their report to what was going on there, and then the relief agencies actually used the map to find people who were in trouble and went and saved them from the rubble. Let's give a big round of applause for the Ushahidi blog. Now, as you probably know, most of the winners were actually not here because we just made the decision. They'll be actually coming to the Deutsche Welle Global Media Forum in Bonn in June. But by happenstance coincidence, one of the Ushahidi team is actually here in Berlin for the Republica conference. And his name is Viktor Miklovich. And I hope he's here to come up and just say a word about his blog.
Oh, I can see him coming. Viktor, there you are. Congratulations. Congratulations, best weblog, well done. Please.
Wow. Good evening. Well, we are quite a big team at Ushahidi back in Africa, and most of our guys are traveling the world. I think we are currently having a small meeting, a Twitter, it's kind of related with Twitter back in the States. And it's great to receive such an award because all our blogs are crowdsourced. We get information from various people, including the top three personalities, such as Eric Hansman, Patrick Meyer, and other folks from around the world. Thanks.
Thank you. Big round of applause, Viktor Miklovich. Thank you very much. Well, and that's it. We've come to the end of this year's Bob's Awards. I would now like to ask all of our jury members up on stage. Mark promised some kissing, hugging, making up, so let's see what happens there. If you want more truth about the blogosphere, more Bobs, more of it all, as Mark said, you can visit the Deutsche Welle Global Media Forum, which will take place beginning June 21st in Bonn in Germany. Hopefully, all of the award-winning bloggers from around the world will be there. I'd like to meet that video blogger. He has interesting opinions. You can find more information on the Bobs website, which is bobs.com. Now it's time for us, all of us, to say goodbye to you. Thank you very much for coming. Have a good night and happy blogging. Thank you. Take me in. Yeah, let's give us a hug.